Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Have you ever paid attention to what you're thinking? Oh my gosh, that's a daunting task, isn't it? Do your thoughts focus on problems or on solutions? Are your thoughts empowering or limiting? Do they alleviate the fears or create them? Great way to start the morning with these questions, aren't they? Have you ever thought to yourself, be careful what you think because chances are you're going to get it? Well, thank you for joining me today. It's going to be a thoughtful show, little pun included there. And I'm going to be discussing mindful thinking and sharing my perspectives as a medical intuitive on how the quality of our thoughts not only affect our life and attract our experiences, but also how they can impact our health. And then ultimately, our thoughts are what determine what we become in the future. So a very, very important topic, and especially since we're having all these energy shifts, and we've got another big one coming up on May 22nd, that's going to be all about really being mindful of our qualities of thoughts. And what the universe is asking us as we're going through all this great change is be mindful of what you're thinking. If your life or your health or your relationships are not what you want, then it's time to rethink them. And so that's what the show is basically going to be on. So very intuitive timing. I would love to take credit for this, but you know, these things just kind of come through when I choose my shows a month in advance, and voila, it's perfect timing. So we're going to be talking about thoughts from a lot of different directions, but most important, on how they really impact your health. I'm going to also be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about the quality of your thoughts and how to change them, I'll certainly love answering those questions, but I'll also want to answer questions around your health. So if you have questions for me in the U.S. and Canada and even Hawaii, you can call me at 1-877-230-3062. So that's 1-877-230-3062. I'm looking forward to taking your calls, and give me a buzz and we can chat just about health or a variety of things. Okay, so I want to start the show off because I think it's really important that maybe we just start at what I call a thought 101. So there's so much talk about thoughts, and you know, this isn't something new just in this lifetime. It's just been always through all the great writings over the course of human civilization has always been around thought. And in fact, the ancient metaphysicians in Egypt and in Greece at the time that they were really looking and at illness and trying to understand it, they really approached illness as being a mental illness, meaning that it was the quality of someone's thoughts. They believed that what the mind thinks, the body imprints, and then the body imitates what those thoughts are. So when they would go into putting together kind of a diagnosis process, they would literally sit and talk to someone and ask them about the quality of their thoughts. You know, I don't know if they use the same language, but it would be mindful to say, you know, are you stressed? What is going on in your life? So then the physician could get an idea of what your thinking was all about and kind of the theme of it. And then what they would do as the metaphysicians is they would look at the quality of someone's thought, and they really didn't go in and prescribe or treat as we think of it today. But then what they would do is they would work with someone to change their thoughts. As a result, there would no longer be any mental illness, and then there would be no longer any physical illness. So, thoughts 101. Thoughts are basically perceptions of what you believe to be true. Now, perceptions is kind of like the whole umbrella. It creates this umbrella. It's kind of the whole composite of what thoughts are. We're constantly thinking. In fact, in the field of neurosciences, science right now, what they're saying is we create approximately 60,000 thoughts on a daily basis within a 24-hour period of time. Now, all they can do is measure an electrochemical change in the brain's activities based on external stimuli, but there's no way that science can go in and look at someone's thoughts or even know what that thought is or the quality of that thought. But what we can do and what science can do and what I can do as a medical intuitive, I can look at those thoughts as they can, and we can look at the chemical reaction that those thoughts are actually creating in the body. So a perception are the thoughts. They're the emotions that you attach to those thoughts. their beliefs, meaning they have a lot of past history in them. If the information that you're creating and thoughts doesn't match with something that you've thought before, the mind's going to immediately go in and try to negate it and immediately say to the mind, this doesn't exist, I don't have anywhere to match it to old history, and as a result, the mind just immediately tries to negate it. So when we think of perceptions, we have to look at conditioning, we have to look at our acquired knowledge, our inner wisdom, the thoughts that we create, the emotions we attach, and then, as a result, the decisions we make from all of those things. Thoughts are the basic creation of our experiences, and what I mean by that is what we think, we literally send out energetically and attract back to us. The law of attraction really works on thoughts. Now, it isn't just thoughts, it's the quality of the emotions attached to the thought. So when we have experiences that we don't want to have, then we have to go back to the foundation or point A as far as how do we change those experiences, and we change our thoughts. Also, thoughts record our life history. The purpose of a thought is to carry out the intent of its thinker. That would be you, that would be me. And then to create and gather more thoughts that support that thought. When we decide that we're going to change something and we kind of hit that proverbial brick wall and it's like, I'm done, no more, been there, done that. What we do is when we go in and we reach that point, then we go in and we start to create a new thought. Now that new thought is different and it takes on a life of its own, and then its intention is to carry out the change that we want, and as a result, the brain actually forms more thoughts to be able to support it, and then takes our brain and it basically the reticular activating system, that part of our brain that looks for patterns, and it starts the brain and the eyes and the physical senses, the hearing, the sight, the touch, the taste, the smell, the feel, all of those things that comes in, it starts trying to gather information to support it. When the thought is created, its prime directive is to focus the attention of the mind. Now, that's really an important element in understanding thoughts. When a thought is created, it is created to focus the brain, mind, meaning heart and brain together, to be able to create the next thought. And again, every thought is energy. That's one of the things as a medical intuitive I find so fascinating about the well-being of the body, is that when the aura opens up to me, it literally will say to me, this is a person's story, this is a person's theme, a core theme, this is a person's way that they look at the life. And it's like I'm looking into a closet of just series and series of the same thought. It may look a little different, but the same thought. And the mind and the brain, mind being again heart and brain, fixate on what that thought is, and all it wants to do is support it. And over the course of time, that ultimately changes the energy in the field, and then as a result, it changes the functioning of the body, and it can affect the organs and the glands, the muscles. This is why we have a lot of aches and pains. For example, if you find yourself thinking all the time, you know, gosh, that person is a pain in the neck. Next thing you know, over the course of time, and it doesn't really have to take a long time, especially if you have a lot of emotion, all of a sudden you have a pain in the neck. Or, you know, I'm tired. We say that over again. We create thoughts that are tired, and as a result, then our body becomes tired. So again, very, very purposeful. And so a thought is to get that brain and then the heart with the emotion to really fixate. And when it fixates, then everything else that exists outside of that thought, the brain doesn't want to listen to, it doesn't want to pay any attention to. Now, people will say to me in my workshops, they'll say, well, gosh, Carol, I mean, you know, we've got thoughts that I've been carrying since I was a little tiny girl, and now I'm 60 years old, and you're telling me that all I have to do is change a thought? And I am. That is literally it. And again, the brain, as exquisite as it is and the instrument that it is for gathering information, make decisions, it can't tell the difference between what's real and imagined. So if we imagine that we imagine ourselves into good health and we have a place that seems to be kind of that same origin site boogaboo, as I call it, over and over and over, that shows up, all we have to do is go in and change the thought. Now, the brain may come in and go, I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense. Keep thinking it. Just that fake it till you make it, the process. Very, very true when it comes into changing what in our life or in our body isn't working. Thoughts let us know where we're going. They also let us know where we've been, and they also let us know what we need to do. So when we think a thought, and then we attract experiences, if what we're attracting is creating us to compromise and not where we want to go, it changed the thought. And then also where you've been. Emotions are very powerful to let us know when our thoughts are betraying us or our thoughts are compromising us. I was doing a workshop in Andover and then also in Freeport, Maine, and we were talking about health and thoughts and so forth. And the nice thing about thoughts is they tell us where we've been. They'll even use the body to tell us where we've been. And then if you can tune into your thoughts, then what you can do is you can find out where you need to go. Now, I take a deep breath at that, as my audience took a deep breath, because it's like, oh my gosh, Carol, you started this show out saying that we have 60,000 thoughts, approximately, on a daily basis. I mean, I can't even think about what I did 5 minutes ago, and I'm not even sure what I'm going to do 5 minutes from now. Well, I do, because I'm on the show, but this is a real, you know, exquisite time, because it's very planned. But I don't think so much out of the future, and I really don't look much at the past. I'm so present in the moment. So how do we find the quality of our thoughts? Through our breath. If where we are in the present moment is that our breathing is rapid and shallow, our thoughts are not where they need to go. If we're breathing in our natural rhythm, we have a sense of calmness about us, then our thoughts are where they should be to take us to the next step, something very, very simple. They help us figure out things. They evaluate situations and experience. They generate emotions. They help us in making decisions. And they also, in the case of my personality color, as a yellow, my thoughts let me know when I'm thinking too much, because then my head starts to hurt. And my head is my head and my body, and those thoughts are coming in and go, Carol, stop. Put the brakes on. You don't need to think anymore. Just allow the thoughts that you've been generating so rapidly to just kind of filter out, and then just stop thinking. Now, can we really turn our brain off? Absolutely not. But what we can do, again, in that present moment with our body talking to us, I can take a deep breath. I can sit in a moment of stillness, and that will cause my brain to actually slow down chemically. And then instead of having those thoughts that the Buddhists call the monkey mind, the sim, that seems to spin around and spin around and spin around, and I never seem to go anywhere with those thoughts other than feel like I'm spinning or experience that wonderful analysis paralysis that I seem to find myself in. When I stop and take a deep breath, it's like all those thoughts just dissipate. They fall into place. And then maybe an answer that I've been looking for a period of time pops in, and that answer is a new thought. Interesting, another interesting part about the brain. The interesting part about the brain is it's a living organ that wants to survive. And it's like our body. It can't survive if all the thoughts that we have in our head are negative. If all of the emotions we have are generated by fear or anger or hate or terror or frustration. And the brain, in its survival mechanism, we now know scientifically, will, when it reaches that point, completely reorganize itself. And you don't even know that's happened. And what that means is the brain literally will take the thoughts that are negative and they will file them deep, 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 deep into the long-term memory banks, into that right temporal lobe, and they'll store them in there in long-term memory just so you have some more room to create new thought. Very fascinating process that we're learning. So what happens, how do you experience that, is that you experience something, you see something externally, and it triggers the thought. That thought is an old thought, meaning that it has a lot of repetition around it. It has a lot of emotion. And then all of a sudden, what will happen at that point in time is you can't remember what it was. What was that thought? I can't remember what that was. So what you'll do, is that you'll go in and your brain reorganizes and you can't find that thought. And then we think we're losing our mind. Well, we're really not. Our brain just said too much of the same thing, not healthy, put it somewhere else where it can be stored, put it in that deep, dark Smithsonian archive in the brain. If it's really needed, then Carol's going to work really hard to get it back. I'll go get it as a brain, but right now I don't have any more room. So very, very important for us, again, to look at the quality of our thoughts. I'm going to be talking about this more throughout the show, but I'd like to take a deep breath right now because what I'm finding is my thoughts are going on and on and on and on and on. Typical of my yellow, they're going to go on and on and on, so I want to take a deep breath. And I would like to take a caller, and then, you know, Rebecca, as soon as I get through with this caller, how about if we take that commercial break, and then I'm going to come back, take more calls, talk a little bit more about how do you change your thoughts, and then give you something mindful to take with you today when you end the show. So let's go ahead into line one, Allie in Canada. Hi, Allie.
Hello there.
Hi, how can I help you?
I love your show, Carol. I'm in my mid-40s, and I have, I guess, the typical midlife problems. I have a chronic low back pain that comes and goes every time, a couple of months, and nothing seemed to work, no medications or acupuncture or massage. And I basically wanted to get your insight as to my problem, you know, maybe even if you could comment on what you think of my personality type. And I lost my mom 2 years ago also, and I have a little bit of mild depression since then.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's contributing to it or not.
Yeah.
Things like that. I have knee pain, chronic again.
Yeah.
Nothing seemed to work. I'm very busy. I'm a professional. And no matter how hard I try, I don't seem to get every job that I want done. So.
Wow. So, honey, is this me? Is this you we're going to read?
Yeah.
So, hold on. Let me take my deep breath. Step back and let's go in. Okay. So, let's go into your back and let's do this physically because that way I can give your mind something to think about and it'll stop fixating on the problem because it can't figure it out. And part of the reason that it can't figure out is your mind is actually focusing on where the symptom site is and not the origin site. So let's go in. I'm going to go in. First of all, let's do this physically. I can understand why the acupuncture and the different modalities didn't work for you. One of the things that I think might work for you, have you tried any myofascial release?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. So let me tell you what that is. Let me first go in. In your neck area, and that's really the origin site, Allie, of what is going on in your body. When I go in to the atlas, it's called, it's cervical vertebrae 1, right?
Yes,
where it's right.
I teach anatomy.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know exactly where I'm talking about. Okay,
yes,
so then I can
yes.
just bypass that. Okay.
Sure.
So I have a little twist in that area, and what it's doing is cervical vertebrae 2 is trying to adjust, 3 is trying to adjust, 4 is trying to adjust, 5, where you're coming right into where the neck and the shoulders come together.
Right.
In that area, I've got some real muscle pain, and in those, in that area, I mean, it's just like knot on top of knot on knot. And then on the left side, I can find this proverbial chronic knot that lives there. And that's what's causing that upper spine to always try to adjust.
Exactly. You hit the point right on top. I got injured 20 so years ago on my left shoulder.
Yep.
And ever since, I didn't use it as much. And I guess my right side is compensating. And the chiropractor did a scan and said your right side muscles are 6 times more active than left.
Yeah. And so while the acupuncture, you know, is to get that chi, all that, you know, energy running through the spine itself, it can do it up to a point, and then the muscles start pulling at each other. So when I go into the muscles, myofascial relief is something that they go in and you can probably Google it, learn more about it, of course. But what it does is it just takes the muscles and it doesn't pull them and put a lot of tension, but it just stretches them ever so slowly so the muscle can in its own way relax. And then the fascia that is in the muscle liquefies and relaxes. And then you can get rid of the lactic acid and the toxin that is in the muscles itself. So again, it's different than a massage that's going to basically just kind of knead all of that toxin out of you. With the myofascial, it just slowly stretches it, holds it, and then the muscle will all of a sudden, it's almost like you can feel it like pop or relax. And when I say pop, it's not painful, but relax, and then the muscle just becomes fluid. With that spine turned and in the directions that it is, vertebrae by vertebrae, I get down into L4 and L5, and then I go into the sacrum, and then I've got the SI joint, the sacroiliac joint. Is it moving, putting pressure on the right knee, putting pressure on the right ankle, on the right plantar ligaments, left side, again, trying to compensate. So what we have is we've got this torquing, and your body's just actually trying to straighten itself, and it's just not being able to do that. So myofascial would help you. My sense is that cranial sacral might help you. Rolfing might help you. Again, that's another way to be able to work with the spine itself. I would do things that are non-stress, non-manipulative from the standpoint that this is a pattern in your body, and if you do too much, then everything's going to panic, and then your mind's going to panic, and it's going to hold it down, it's going to clamp you down, and then you can't move the way that you need to.
I see.
So the thing with the depression is I can pick up, you know, tremendous loss with your mother and the connection and your sense of identity and your role as a male. And just, I mean, she really gifted you with so much strength, but also with that so much sense of responsibility. And when I go into the depression part of it, I can't really go in, honest to goodness, and find that you are clinically depressed, meaning I can't find the chemistry makeup to say that you're depressed. But what I can tell you is that because of the loss of your mom, because of your body not working in cooperation with you, because of your mind being so darn active like mine, and just kind of jumping from one thing to the other thing to the other thing, and that unending task list that seems to keep rolling and rolling and rolling, what it's doing is it's creating this inner desire to just go back to simplicity. It's just like, you know, just wanting to get off of that hamster wheel and just be able to stand on your own two feet. What I really feel in you, honey, is more of a melancholy. It's like a longing for kind of the good old days. And now the good old days certainly have things. But it's just wanting this pace to slow down. So when I go into the depression part of it, I really can't find clinical depression, meaning the chemistry imbalance, but I can find a longing. I can find a yearning and also almost a craving inside that things will just come to a place where it'll just slow down. Your mind is on hypersensitivity, and it's having a difficult time focusing on one project from point A to point B to complete it. And it's almost like I want to go back and I don't get, again, I love you, Allie. I don't know whether I'm talking to you or me. This is the gift that we do this work. It's like just taking one thing, focusing on one thing, starting from point A to point B, getting it done. You will get the achievement feeling that you need in order to feel successful or to have that sense of accomplishment and then move on to the next thing. We become a thinking process where we're so multitasking. And that multitasking is very hard on the brain, very hard on the mind, meaning the heart, mind, brain combination, and the body. So I would look at those different things and look at how you could go in and just choose one thing and do something every day you can start and finish and then reprogram your brain that way.
Okay.
And I think that will help you with that. By the way, your mom is with you, and I can pick up, she wanted me to just say to you, it feels to me like in the last 3 or 4 days, you've had some real breakthrough dreams. And pay attention to your dreams, because that's where your mom is going to touch base with you. And that's where she's going to go back to you as a young man and help you create the strength that you're looking for. And then what you'll do is then you'll be able to take that one step in front of the other, and that's going to help you. Right now, the one thing that I do pick up is, sweetie, you've got to lighten up on yourself. You're being very, very hard on yourself. Now, again, before I said that to you, Allie, I took a deep breath and I thought, okay, Carol, is this you or is this him? Is this you or is this him? And I can tell you, I can tell you, do take a deep breath, stop, and look at where you are, and then choose one thing every day. You can get a sense of completion, and then you're going to feel better. It's going to help you from stopping. And the neck metaphor that I pick up is, it's like your head is spinning. You're needing to see everything at one time. Yeah. And that's the push-pull that I'm picking up in your neck.
Yes. Thank you so much. Oh, what personality color would you call that? I tried your book. I went through it. I guess the first time I thought it was yellow, but when I actually sat down, all four colors were equal. 11 points for every single color.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm trying to adjust my life, or I just can't.
You know what, hon? I am great love. You are a fellow yellow. And right now we have so many things that our brains are working on. And all those numbers mean, when they're the same on all of the colors, it just says that you're at a place of a major identity crisis as a yellow.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
Who am I? You know, what's my color? Where am I going to go? What are my thoughts? And so, again, when all the numbers are the same, it's not saying anything is wrong. But what it's saying is that right now, just stop. And the plight of the yellow is, there are so many problems we want to help solve. But in the course of solving all the other problems, we do forget we have a body attached to that brain.
That's me.
And so, but yes, you are a yellow, a fellow yellow and a fellow cohort. And next time I find myself spinning, I'm gonna send you a vibe mail. It's going to be like, hi, Allie, how are you doing out there, honey? Great love to you. Thank you for calling me, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay, so let's go ahead now, and what we'll do is let's go for a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come right back, and I'm going to talk a little bit about thoughts, but more importantly, I want to take calls first, and then I'll end the show about thoughts. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, thank you for joining me. If you are just joining me, I'm talking about thoughts and thinking and how our thoughts can be our best friend, or frankly, they can be our worst enemy. And the best way to know the quality of our thoughts is to really look at our experiences that we're attracting, the people we're attracting, and again, the experiences. And if the people we're attracting are similar to the people that we attracted before, that we've been trying to get rid of, changing our life and changing our relationships, it's a chance for us to step back and then to rethink what we're looking for in a relationship. So often when I'm doing readings, what I do is I'll find people saying to me, you know, Carol, I met this wonderful person, and gosh, when we first got started, everything seemed so different, and then we got into the relationship, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm with the same person I was before. And so what we do is we actually are sending out the message we want to change, but we have to be real clear and concise. What do we want to change? Otherwise, we may change people, but we have the same pattern. And then again, it's not that we did anything wrong. It's just a chance to rethink what we want for our relationships. So thoughts, of course, are experiences, the tasks that we attract, the tasks that we procrastinate on, the people in our lives, the things that we truly love to do, our health, all of those things are really attracted to the quality of our thoughts. So when we're going to go in this segment, I'm going to go a little bit deeper as far as how does it affect your health, because again, what you think, your body imprints. What your body imprints, it imitates what you think. So it is kind of like a spiral or kind of like a circle or that proverbial catch-22. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me, I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. Yeah, that number is good for U.S., Canada, and also Hawaii. And so you can give me a call. If you haven't read my Healing Happens book, I would encourage you to do so, because in the book, I actually go into a whole chapter on thoughts and the quality of thoughts and how it imprints in the body itself. And it takes the thoughts, and I started just a little bit of Thought Anatomy 101 in the first segment of the show, but in the book, it goes into details, and it causes a lot of thoughts to be produced, thoughts that are changing thoughts. And then also in the back of the book, I have a whole series of things that you can do to be able to change your thoughts. Sometimes it's as easy as just distracting ourselves from what we're thinking at that time. So again, the name of the book is Healing Happens With Your Help, Understanding the Hidden Meanings Behind Illness. The book can be purchased at hayhouse.com or through amazon.com. And again, it will give you an idea to look at thoughts, emotions, and everything that contributes to the breakdown in the body. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's jump right in for a caller right now. Hi, Carrie, line one.
Hello?
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling me.
Oh, hi, Carol. How lucky for me.
I'm loving it, hon. How can I help you?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get through to you a couple of months ago while you were on Hay House. And I'm following you everywhere, Carol.
Oh, I'm loving it, honey, and I love my new home at Contact Talk Radio,
good.
So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. So I actually did a lot of your recommendations, but I'm still having the symptoms, so I'm wanting to get to the root of what's going on. And it's funny you said pain in the neck, and I'm like, I can't really figure out what my pain in the neck is, so... and I get this clicking. It scares me a little bit, this clicking in my neck and shoulders, and it's persistent. It's been here for at least a couple of years. So, I've done some of your recommendations, the curcumin,
good.
And SAMI.
To get rid of the inflammation part of it.
Yeah, and I'm taking chlorella to change my pH. I'm really, really focusing on changing my inner ecosystem and maintaining loving thoughts towards myself and others, but obviously I'm missing the boat on something.
No,
so.
Actually, you know what, sweetie, you're not. The only thing that I'm picking up, I mean, and, you know, gold stars, as I say it, to what you've been doing. You know, it's kind of like being that little kid in school and, you know, you do something, you get that gold star.
I love those gold stars. I'm all
boy,
about
me,
it.
Me too, I am. Boy, it's like, okay, if I can get one, I can get 15.
Yeah, and especially coming, you know, from you. So thank you for those gold stars.
You are welcome. Now, that's a double-edged sword, so I've used that as the lead-in. So first of all, you are doing the things that your body really needed. Your liver looks so much better.
It does. Thank you.
So much better. And I mean, actually, when I go in and I just kind of energetically poke it, right now it's running about probably 85-90% of efficiency. That is huge from when I read you before.
Do you remember reading me before?
I do remember reading you before.
Oh, my goodness, you're amazing. With all the hundreds of people, thank you remembering my body.
Well, you know what? I don't remember names, but, boy, once I connect with that energy, it's like, woo, she's back.
So, oh, okay, great. So even in the 2 months, my liver's doing a lot better.
Doing so much better. And then the inflammation is so much better because the liver's better, and then the curcumin and everything. So overall, your body feels lighter to me.
Oh, yay.
So,
yay,
but good. What I can still feel when I go in and that part of it, so let's go a little bit more, is so in the liver, what I was picking up before is I was picking up a lot of guilt, and that's actually stored in the liver.
Okay.
And so when you're working with the liver physically and you're saying all those loving things to yourself, the anger is going away as far as being self-directed, the resentment towards yourself. And so when I go to that that right shoulder, I've got guilt. I've got some grief there, honey. So go in and look at, you know, what person's causing you grief?
So it is someone from, because when you said the word guilt right now, I thought, am I guilty for the things I've done in my past? Is it a me guilt, or is it somebody else outside of me you're picking up on?
Well, actually, what it is it's you, but someone outside is triggering it.
It's triggering guilt and grief?
Yep. So go back in and look at your life. Now, this isn't, you don't have to go into psychotherapy, and this isn't, you know, 40 years of anything, but just go in, and there's a reoccurring story. There's a reoccurring story that no matter how much you try, you don't seem to be able to please people, or you don't seem to be enough, or you don't seem to be as adequate. And that's an old reoccurring pattern. And every time that you try to do that and you don't get the response, you have a sense of grief. It's like, why can't that person see what I'm trying to do? Why can't they see that I'm being authentic? And then you go in, and then it's like, well, good grief, and not good grief. But
right,
grief,
it's grief in my shoulder. See, which is what's confusing for me, Carol, is that I get so much positive affirmation from people. I get so much out of girl that I'm confused as to where I'm not getting it.
Okay,
because
so I want you to go back when you were 11 years old.
Oh.
I want you to go back to two of your girlfriends that you had at that point in time. And it feels like there was something that happened that was really disappointing, that you either said something, they said something, and you're still carrying some guilt there.
Okay.
And it was just, and you know what? All that is to go back at 11 years old and go, oh, my gosh, there it is, and then let go of it.
But do I even need to find the actual event or just?
No.
Say, just set that intention. I'm going to go
back. Just
set
that intention.
To that place and time and let go. Because I've been trying to let go of...
You bet.
I think why my liver feels better is the mistakes I made in my past,
yeah.
I've been accepting them and trying to move on. Not trying to move on by pretending they didn't exist, but actually going back and accepting them.
Now take what you just said and then look at... There's a reoccurring pattern. It's very different, but there's still a reoccurring pattern that still has this little charge. So what we could do is, if we wanted to bypass everything, is just, okay, so Carol said there's grief. Oh, good grief. Let's get rid of it.
Right,
good grief.
Right, right.
The other part of it is guilt. So let's not go in. We don't have to go into that long part about guilt, but let's just go in and say, you know what? I've done all these wonderful things. I don't need to feel guilty anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to feel guilty about who I am. I don't need to feel guilty about my past. I don't need to feel guilty because I love what I'm doing. I don't need to feel guilty because a lot of people don't love what they're doing, but I do. You know, just look at it from a lot of different directions very quickly and just go, you know what? Let's do a little bit of guilt and grief liposuction.
Yes, that's an intention, right?
You'll absolutely,
right.
Absolutely.
And I didn't see, if someone would say to me, Carrie, do you feel guilty? I'd say, not at all. But when you said to me, guilt, when you said it to me, because it's coming from you, I'm like, well, it's got to be true. So when it's coming from you, I when you said guilt, I immediately almost felt like crying because I think I must feel guilty about my past.
You do. And you know what? We all have past, and we all have things, and at the time, we do the things, we do them for the right reasons at the moment.
Right.
And if we look to the past and we use that as a measurement of where we are now, we hold ourselves back. That's grief.
Yeah.
We feel a tremendous sense of loss.
Yeah.
That's what grief is all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So from that standpoint, it's like, okay, you know, bummer. This is what it was, and so forth. And, you know, and you will know, honey, whether you're in denial or whether it's real. And you'll know whether it's real when you want to cry or when you can
like
see
right
that
this second.
Smile. And when it's denial, come on, because we all go there. Moi, I do this so much. I mean, very human. So what we do is just go in, and when you feel that, and I did, I went into the liver because that's where it started, is I went into the liver, and I touched, I just touching a pool of water, and I could feel and see that ripple, and that ripple comes to the surface, and then it's like, okay, the past is what it is. Look at how far you've come.
Right.
Use your past to see how far you've come.
Right.
And not where you've been. And you know what? That is part of the missing link.
Okay.
And when you go in there and everything else, gold stars, and, you know, if you want to go by yourself, as silly as it sounds, a box of gold stars, and every time you have that guilt or something comes up that's a strong emotion, just let it come up.
Right.
And then work with it if you need to cry or you need to scream. Or
well,
whatever
I've been
you need
doing
do.
The Infinite Love and Gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with Darren Weissman.
Oh, well, I will tell you, magic. Darren's work is magic for
yeah,
you,
I'm
sweetie.
Studying
and it's magic
with him.
For everybody.
It's wonderful. Well, I actually wanted to study with you, but Spirit told me to study. Do you think I would be a good candidate for the Ritberger Institute for learning this medical intuition?
You know what? You would, but if you just hang on tight, I've got a brand new modality that I'm going to start teaching probably the end of the year called neurobiogenesis.
Okay.
And it's how you actually remap the brain, synapses, and memory, and so forth, and it goes hand-in-hand with Darren's work. It's such a beautiful compliment.
So that you I would be a good compliment to what I'm doing now.
It would be a good compliment. And you know what?
Am I hardwired toward that kind of?
You are.
Okay.
You are. And the one thing is, Spirit told you very wisely to go with Darren first because you're doing so much of your own healing work. So absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're just going to do a little bit of guilt liposuction. And every time, I can feel you smile. And every time you get to there, just smile, and then just, you know, tap and just infinite love and gratitude. Infinite love and gratitude, and that'll help you. Thanks, Carrie. Real pleasure, sweetie.
Oh, God bless you, Carol.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so what can we do to be able to change our thoughts, to be able to create our health? The way you look at thoughts and health is you can go, and your body's like a Geiger counter. It will tell you where you're holding thoughts that aren't serving you well. If you have stomach trouble, maybe it's your thoughts are eroding your self-confidence. If you have lower back problems, maybe your thoughts are creating deep-seated resentment, or maybe they're causing you to live in the fear of the unknown or the fear around survival. And again, use your body as a indicator to where you're holding thoughts that just need to be looked at and that need to be changed. Our humanness, once we start the process, we just want it all gone instantly. And as you heard me just talking about with Carrie, is sometimes the things that we have that we're living now later in our life, most of them, frankly, are imprinted from birth to age 13. And so there's a lot of minutia, a lot of thoughts that just keep building and building and building on all of the different thoughts. And they just weigh heavy on us. And so when we go in, use your body as a Geiger counter or a barometer, and it will tell you. So some of the things to remember, positive thoughts create positive results. Fake it till you make it. Love that one myself. Just because beliefs don't go away immediately doesn't mean you can't change them. I love it when someone says to me in my workshops, Carol, can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's like, yes, you can. We get caught up in those patterns, but we can change our thoughts. Keep in mind that your thoughts are energy, and whatever you think goes out and attracts back to you what you thought. Energy and thought can be changed at any point in time. Maybe they won't change the patterns immediately, but they will change the thoughts and change what you attract. Develop what Louise Hay says, an I can do it attitude. You know, I have something sitting in front of me, and it says the divine never gives us a load too heavy. Sometimes I wish he, she didn't have so much confidence in me. This sits in my office right in front of me all the time because sometimes I go into that place and my thoughts become so heavy and so burdensome. And we have to kind of be like that little train that can. And we have to remember that what we attract is our opportunity to continue to create new thought and to change. So an I can do it attitude. Harness the power of affirmations. They're positive self-talk. Prayer is positive self-talk. Maintain a positive environment by surrounding yourself with positive people. If for any reason the people in your life aren't supporting you in the growth and the change that you want, maybe it's time to look at those people. Maybe it's time in some cases to let go. But maybe in some cases it's time to sit down and talk to people and set some healthy boundaries. And then in doing so, you're going to help change your thoughts and attract different things. So again, being around positive people, very, very important. Increase your awareness of what you're thinking. And how do you do that? Listen to your self-talk. If you're saying things to yourself that you wouldn't say to your worst enemy, oh my goodness, zip it. Just stop. And then just take a deep breath, be present in the moment. Your spirit, your soul, meaning energy, your soul come in. And then all of a sudden, everything that caused the negative self-talk will start to dissipate. The most important thing, dare to think out of the box. When I died and came back, one of the most impactful memories I have from that near-death experience was something that was said to me when I was going from light back to body. It was like they were, the souls on the other side were yelling at me like I was getting on a train and going on this trip and everything. They said, Carol, don't forget. It's okay to color outside the line. And little did I know that at age 37, I would pick up crayons, start coloring. And little did I know that I would reach a place where I am right now doing this kind of work, reading energy. So again, wonderful ways to be able to change our thoughts. Okay, let's see. I have a very, very, Rebecca, am I still sitting at about 5 minutes? 4 minutes. Okay. You know what? Let's connect me with Linda. I'm going to put her on the line, at least hear her voice. Hello, my love. How are you?
Hi. Carol,
hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I have 3 minutes. Can we do it?
I hope so. I've been trying to get a hold of you for years, Carol.
Okay,
hey,
sweetie. So let's go in. Where do you want me to start?
Constant head and neck pain for the last 5 years. Every day it's exhausting.
Okay. So what we want to do is that I would like you to find a craniosacral therapist. If you don't know of where to find one, go on John Upledger, Upledger. Google it, craniosacral or John's name.
I've been to them before, him. Yeah.
Yep. And so what you want to do is find yourself a craniosacral therapist. And what that'll do is it'll help get the cerebral spinal fluid in alignment. It will balance your head. It will put your skull back into that bowl that's created by the skull to be able to get your head on straight. Excuse me for saying it that way. The other thing is in the mid-back, thoracic vertebrae 6 and 7. Work with someone with non-manipulative chiropractic or someone that can work. You've got a hitch in your get-along. Your spine doesn't pivot there. As a result, it caused your head to get cocked to the left side. Your muscles in the right side are trying to set you upright. Those little mastoid muscles in the neck are pulling against each other. That's creating your severe neck pain. And if they can release the tension in thoracic T6 and 7, your spine will become aligned. Your upper spine will become aligned. Your head will drop into the skull the way that it needs to, meaning that bowl at the occiput that's created there. It will take the pressure off of your neck. It will take the pressure off of your head, pressure off of your jaws, pressure off of the muscles around your eyes, pressures off of the muscles in the back of your neck, and then your head will not tip forward. And what is occurring is that your head is actually rotating forward and your muscles are constantly trying to pull it back, hon. And so if you can look at those modalities and look at those places, then what it'll do is it will help seat everything. Your head will automatically come back and then also will align itself. The other thing is I would encourage you to buy yourself a new pillow and maybe even look at a new mattress, because I believe what's going on is that we have the combination of the way the head is seated on the pillow, and then that thoracic spine is seated on the mattress. Maybe a feather, down feather bed or something put on top of your mattress is going to help you tremendously. So those things should give you the relief you're looking for. And once you get that relief, then the muscles will go back into the memory of what they need to do. And I think that will help take care of your pain. And I think it will help put the head where it needs to be, cock it back where it seats, everything seats right, and you're good to go. Thanks, Linda. You know what? And you can listen to this in the archives. All of you, as far as listeners, that's one of the wonderful things I love about Contact Talk Radio. Go to my host page, and then you'll see a little button that says Archive. You can listen to this show. You can download it on your iPod or your MP3 player, no cost to it. You can take me to work. You can take me to the shower. You can take me everywhere. It has been a great show. Please be mindful of what you think, because what you think, you attract, and your body becomes. If it isn't what you want, then change your thoughts. It's that simple. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to be back next Wednesday doing another live show. So thank you so much, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and I'll see you on the radio next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.